listening to the Neshot Hamayim podcast, where I talk about birth, life, nature, and the divine wisdom we can gain through it all. I'm Chaya, your hostess. Blessed is Adonai, ruler of the universe, who brought us to this place and time for this purpose. On conversion and Mishpacha. I've been asked on several occasions why I decided to convert to Judaism, and I have often given the quick answer of, for community. To anyone who has been privy of the experiences of my husband and I over this journey, however, that response probably has seemed more like a joke. I don't necessarily blame them for thinking so. In fact, I have laughed at that dark joke myself more than once. To those who are unfamiliar, let me explain that our relationship, though more mine than my husband's, with the Jewish community has more often been strained and discouraging than it has been relaxed and uplifting. I won't go into every detail, but in the interest of clarity right now, we approached one of these Jewish micro-communities with complete vulnerability and received only cold rejection and judgment. When we had to relocate and our financial situation was grave, we reached out to certain members of leadership, asking for guidance and how to continue our conversion. We would not even be heard, not even given the opportunity to meet, as long as we were unable to move within the Jewish community boundary, the Eruv, which were extremely expensive neighborhoods in these particular cities. Heartbroken, confused, and frankly infuriated, we decided to pivot. We found a not-Orthodox, conservative synagogue, led by a former Orthodox rabbi. The moment we walked in the doors, we were welcomed with smiles. Smiles! For the first time in the entire conversion journey, I felt like I was being given permission to exist as a fellow human, that I was worthy of warmth and welcome. That simple difference in approach from this particular community was healing and much needed. It was from there we left for Montana and have lived near our tiny Jewish community here. Yet, that feeling of being other has slithered its way into my consciousness once more. Why do I want to be a part of them? I have been asked. Why, when they won't ever accept you fully? You aren't one of them. Why? Because they're family. They are my people. I am one of them, whether they like it or not. I have realized something, admittedly only very recently. I have realized that I have given so much power to the rabbis and to all of the Jewish women I've ever encountered. I have wanted them to accept me, to approve of me, to welcome me into their home and be friends of mine, to value my input and my presence, to come into my home and feel comfortable with eating my food, to look at my children and feel pride over the next generation of Israel. And I would be so grateful if that were to ever happen. But I have wanted it so badly that I have often considered sacrificing everything, divine calling included, to get it. Some might nod in approval at this suggestion. A convert should be willing to give absolutely everything up for the sake of joining the people of Israel. But that's not really what's being discussed here, is it? I'm not arguing against the notion of being totally open to transformation during the conversion process. I think if someone wants to pursue a divinely blessed life, then why not offer everything up for consideration? The difference here is that in one situation, you have an individual who is seeking to live according to Hashem's call. In the other, you have an individual who is desperate for the approval of other humans. For the former, let the holy fire burn. For the latter, let the dance end. I love my people. I have loved the people of Israel since I was a little girl, dreaming about listening to the patriarch Abraham as he spoke to a crowd and of thousands of voices singing together in a valley, men, women, and children, all praising the divine creator. I have loved them through this harrowing journey of wading through prejudice and misunderstanding. I have loved them, and I will continue to love them fiercely, because they are my family, my mishpacha. I implore my family now, though, if any of you are listening to this, to reflect on the many times in Torah when Hashem instructs his people not to treat a stranger poorly. Hashem reminds us that we too were once strangers, and therefore we know what it feels like to be outsiders. More than that, I want to leave my people with this quote from Vayikra, Leviticus 19:34. The strangers who reside with you shall be to you as your citizens. You shall love each one as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I, Adonai, am your God. I am honestly terrified of sharing these thoughts and so openly bearing my soul for anyone to peer into. Just as I had finished this recording, I considered not publishing it at all. I then realized that I had written Leviticus for that last quote, and I wanted to write the Hebrew name for the book, which was slipping my mind. So I looked it up and found that it was, of course, Vayikra, meaning Adonai called, and it refers to how the book begins. Adonai called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. A profoundly powerful moment, then. And I don't think this reminder was an accident. May I be like Moses now and answer the divine call. Thanks for joining me here. Remember to subscribe, write a review, and check out the show notes for other ways to connect. Nothing on this podcast is medical or legal advice. By engaging with this content, you agree to take full responsibility for your own experiences. Everything in this podcast is property of Prudence Ministries, a private healing association.